Father, we do pour out our praise to you. It's the instinctive response of our lives and our hearts as we take time out and focus on you. Would you renew our experience of you, deepen our understanding of you, release our praise? And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. How marvelous. Welcome, Sir Margaret Lothbury. It's great to see you, and thank you for coming. It was a relief to me, I have to say, that the rain stopped in order to allow people just to get to church, then started again, so we don't know what will happen. But it's marvellous that you're here, and in heaven you'll get credits for this. And thank you, Chris and the band, for leading us. Total wrong theology, of course, but nevertheless, we'll get on to right theology in a moment. Let me read to you, before I go wrong again, a couple of verses from Nehemiah chapter 9. In fact, we're going to change slightly the verses and going to look at Nehemiah chapter 9, but starting at verse 32, just to prompt, I think, I hope it was the Holy Spirit as we were worshipping. Page 32, which is on the page before the one advertised. Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 32. Now, therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let this hardship seem trifling in your eyes, the hardship that has come on us. It's an extraordinarily honest prayer, isn't it? And God seems to love honest prayers. In fact, the more direct we are, the more honest we are, the more he seems to love it, and the more we tap into the reality which is at the heart of our faith. As I was just pondering about whether I was hearing the Lord right to change the verses and the focus of this sermon, I was reminded of the fact that it was 16 years yesterday, that I was lying in a bed in Adam Brooks Hospital in Cambridge and was told that the brain tumour, for which I'd been operated on 10 days earlier, was indeed benign. It was a great relief. But it hadn't always, in the time that I'd been in there, been quite as all good news as that. I'd been in a convent on retreat in Norfolk when suddenly I realised that something wasn't right. Terrible headaches, one eye closed and it wouldn't open. I mean, my eye closes quite often, but on this occasion it wasn't voluntary. And, you know, they'd eventually taken me to the Norwich Hospital, who'd sent me to Adam Brooks, because, as they rather unhelpfully said, there was nothing we can do here, so we're going to send you to Cambridge, which, you know, I think was probably a very good thing, but not the encouragement I needed, as I was feeling pretty grotty. They eventually decided that it was a tumour and they needed to operate. On the night before, the consultant came to see me, you know, in the way consultant stewards had just going to wish you good luck for tomorrow. And I thought, well, I was rather hoping your skill might sort it out. But, you know, like any kind of vaguely middle-class sort of person, you know, you're polite even when you're hearing awful news. And he said, yes, he said, I'm sure it'll be all right, he said. I said, well, that's very comforting. He said, interestingly, he said, you know, we're in the vanguard of surgery here at Adam Brooks, vanguard in Europe. I said, well, that's a great comfort to me. He said, so tomorrow we're going to do experimental surgery. It's not been done like this before on your condition. I said, oh, that's very helpful, thinking this does not sound good. But, you know, too polite to say it. He said, yes, he said, we're in the vanguard. I thought, yeah, you'd said that three or four times already. And he said, there's only one downside. I said, oh, tell me, thinking I don't really want to know, but I ought to look interested. He said, even if it's benign, I said, obviously we're hoping and I'm praying for that. He said, yes, 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 just sweeping religious nonsense out of the way, clearly. And he said, we could just cause a bleed and you'd lose your sight. I said, oh, thank you for flagging that up. I still remember thinking, keep calm, be polite, you know, the way we're all brought up. And so I said, yeah, that's very kind. And he said, good, I'm glad you understand, and pottered off. So I thought, oh, well. And it was only that night when I switched the light off and lay there thinking, well, it's either a malignant tumour or blindness or both, I don't know. You know, and suddenly I realised how unhappy I was about it. And realised, too, that even though I was even a wilder charismatic then than now, you know, involved in exciting things that God was doing, the fact that everything had been so great for the previous few years had probably led to me being less intimate with God than I had been. And I hadn't noticed it. And I lay there on my bed thinking, Lord Jesus, hands up, it's not been as it should be. I know you love me and I'm counting on this at the moment. I really don't want to be blind. That really is how it is. And it's really hard lying here in the dark thinking about that. And we prayed, I prayed, he listened, through the night. And I felt when I went down to surgery, I'd experienced his love and was ready for anything. So when the following afternoon I was coming round and the surgeon came and lifted off the my eye closed, it was part of the bleed in the tumour, and lifted off the first eye patch, I couldn't see. The eye hadn't opened. And I thought, I'm blind. It was about 3 seconds before I realised it had been the right eye that had been closed anyway. But for 3 seconds, I was calm. What I come across the previous night had stayed. I knew afresh his love. And that's what Nehemiah is talking about in these verses. As we'd have seen in the verses that were up, which we didn't read, he was saying, you know, we've had a lot of fun. Life's been quite good, you know, it's been great. We've had wonderful blessing. But actually, God, we took you for granted. And he says, now, as we heard, this is difficult. But the thing he remembered was God could do it. He was great and mighty and would want to help because there was a covenant of love. And today, from my own experience, as from the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ, who showed us more about love than Nehemiah and his contemporaries could ever have glimpsed, wants to renew in you and me that extraordinary sense of his love. So whether things are great for you, or whether you're saying like he did at this point, this is difficult, you know, God. He wants us to know quite how much he loves us.